Let's read once again the Word of God from Exodus 3. We're going to read through verse 18 of Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. That's as far as we read this evening. The text for tonight's sermon is Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. When God sent Moses to Egypt, both for Moses himself and for the Israelites, God gave Moses those two signs of deliverance that we read about in the next chapter, the sign of a rod turned into a serpent and back into a rod again, and the sign of a hand that became leprous and then was cured. He gave those signs as an encouragement to Moses in the work that he was called to do, and as a picture of what God was doing and would do for the Israelites in delivering them both from the bondage of Egypt and in the wilderness from their own sinfulness. God also sent Moses to Egypt, and that was also for Moses' own encouragement and for the encouragement of God's people, sent him to Egypt with this name, I am that I am. Moses would need that name, would need to remember that name and put his trust in that name, in the work that God gave him to do, and the children of Israel would need that name in facing, first of all, the plagues that came on Egypt, their passage through the Red Sea, and then also those difficult years in the wilderness. But when God sent Moses to Egypt with those signs and with that name, he sent them also on our behalf. He sent Moses to Egypt with this name, not only for the sake of his Old Testament people, but for our sakes. And that, of course, is why this is all recorded in the Word of God. If it were not for us, it would not be there. This name is then a name that we must remember, and a name in which we must put our trust. And that because there is no other name like it. I am that I am. That's the name we're going to be looking at this evening. I'm going to be emphasizing the fact, first of all, that that name is a name to be remembered, then a name to be believed, and finally a name to be honored. Those three things this evening. I think you probably know that the name I Am is really just the name Jehovah. That's the meaning of the name Jehovah. I Am. And because it emphasizes so many things about the greatness and glory of God, it really is a name above all other names. I believe it's safe to say even that among all the names of God Himself, this name, the name Jehovah, I Am, stands out and is of the most importance to us, God's people. You could read then, verse 14, something like this. When Moses asked, what is his name, or put those words in the mouth of the Israelites, what is his name, and asked, what shall I say unto them? Then God said to him, Jehovah, who is Jehovah? I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah hath sent me unto you. And God goes on to say that that name is really the same as the name Lord God of your fathers. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This, he says, is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And that's, of course, why I chose as the first point of tonight's sermon the words, a name to be remembered, and why I emphasized at the beginning that that name was for us as well as for the Israelites when God gave it to Moses. This is my memorial unto all generations. This is my name forever. For today, as well as for those days in which Israel was still in bondage. That name, and you have to understand that about any of God's names, is not just a label. Our names are nothing more than that, a label that our parents attached to us when we were born. And really, those names tell us nothing about ourselves. They tell others nothing about us. And because they're only labels, those names can be changed. You have to do that through a certain legal process. But it doesn't make any difference, really, what label we attach to ourselves or our parents attach to us when we were born. But God's names are different. God's names not only tell us who and what he is, but in a way that's very difficult to explain or understand, when you use one of God's names, you are dealing with God himself. That's why it's such a serious sin to break the third commandment and take God's name in vain. You're not only misusing his name, but you are acting against God himself, because his names are so closely associated with who and what he is. We know him and love him through those names. And this name, as I've indicated, is the most important of all God's names. I think that's evident from the fact that when Moses asked, "What name shall I tell the children of Israel?" God said, "This name, Jehovah, I am. Take that name with you to Egypt." And that name is so important because it emphasizes, more than any other name, numerous attributes of God himself, and speaks of the greatness and glory of God. The name I Am, that's evident from the words themselves, emphasizes for one thing, and I hope you get from that a sense of who we're talking about this evening. It emphasizes, for one thing, the fact that God is eternal. Almost, the fact that God is eternal is almost beyond our grasp, because it means that there's no past for God. There's no future for him. Yesterday is the same to him as today. And so is 5, 6,000 years ago. It's not past for him. How that can be, we for whom yesterday is forever gone find it almost impossible even to explain what the eternity of God really means. And by the way, our Savior, because he's God, has that name as well. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, the Word of God says that our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. No change. No shadow of turning. As James says, with God and with our Savior, who is the only begotten Son of God. But that name speaks not only of God's eternity, but also of his unchangeableness. And there again, because he is so great, that he is except for what he reveals of himself in his word beyond our comprehension, that also shows us something of who and what he is. In fact, when we say, I don't really get it, that God is eternal and unchangeable, then what we're really saying is that he is God. And we but the creatures and work of his hands, who only through his revelation of himself have, if I may put it that way, a little glimpse of his glory and greatness. That he's unchangeable means that he doesn't have emotions as we have. The Bible speaks, of course, of God repenting. Repenting, for example, through the preaching of Jonah and the conversion of the Ninevites, repenting of the evil that he had threatened to do to that city. Not easy to understand, but it cannot mean that God changed his mind. And of course, that's a comfort for us too. I am the Lord, he says, Jehovah, who changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the same yesterday and today and forever is a comfort like no other. When all the circumstances of my life are changing, when I sing that hymn, change and decay and all around I see, then I have to know that there is one who does not change. You have that in that well-known 90th Psalm, the only psalm that we know that was written by Moses, perhaps written because of what God said to him there at the burning bush. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The name refers to the fact that not only does God have no change, not only is there no yesterday or tomorrow for him? But it refers to the fact, and again, that's almost beyond our grasp, that he has no beginning and no end. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And if by God's revelation of himself in the Word, if you get a glimpse of his greatness and glory through these names and attributes, then you feel like Moses did there at the burning bush, when he hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. You know why Moses felt that way. You know why the truth that God is God is the most important truth in God's Word. You know, and too, why God is to be worshiped. And why, when we come to God, we have to humble ourselves before Him and say, "Who is like the Lord our God?" That was what God was emphasizing to Moses at the burning bush, but emphasizing too and reminding Moses that in all His glory as the unchangeable one, in all His glory as the eternal, in all His glory as the one who knows no yesterday or tomorrow, that He's the God of His people. For them, the name Jehovah is the same as Lord God of your fathers. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The one who keeps, even today, the promises that He made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The one who's made a covenant with His people, and who in that covenant is the friend of His people, and who never, ever forsakes that friendship and covenant that He's established with them, who is, that's a word that sums it all up for us, who is faithful, always faithful to His own, who chose them in eternity, before the world was created, who never changed through all that happened through our first parents in the Garden of Eden, who kept His promises by sending His own only begotten Son to pay for the sins of His people, who has never broken to them any promise that He ever made. That's all encompassed in that name, Jehovah. I am that I am. Or Jehovah, how else could you say it? Jehovah, who really is Jehovah. Tell them, God says to Moses, tell them, I am hath sent me unto you. Tell them that the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who remains faithful even today, hath sent me unto you. And God says to Moses, then they'll believe. They'll believe that I am going to deliver them, not only from the bondage of Egypt, but as we saw in connection with those signs that God gave to Moses, I'm the God who's going to deliver them from their own sinfulness and folly, from all the rebellion and disobedience to which they're prone. Tell them that I will deliver them. And tell them that. Because they've been some 400 years in Egypt. And for a good part of that time, slaves of Pharaoh. Tell them that because it seemed for so many years that I had forgotten all about them and that they would be slaves in Egypt forever. Tell them this name so that when in the wilderness, I have to punish them for their sins, they don't think that I've changed in my love for them, in my mercy towards them, that I've become something other than their deliverer. Give them this name, and they will believe. But because, that's the second point of the sermon, because this is a name that would help the Israelites, cause the Israelites to believe in God as their deliverer, it's a name, too, that speaks of God's faithfulness in Christ. You have to remember, in connection with what God says to Moses in these verses, that when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush to give him this name, among other things, he appeared there as the angel of Jehovah, who in a wonderful and mysterious way, was in the Old Testament a revelation of Christ himself. If you take a good concordance and study that name as it's used again and again in the Old Testament, I am absolutely certain that you will come to that conclusion that the angel of Jehovah was none other than Christ himself, appearing by the grace of God those thousands of years before he came in the flesh. That for one thing. But you have to remember too what Jesus says in John 8 to the unbelieving Jews, although he says it, of course, for our edification and growth and grace as well. Jesus had suggested, you'll remember, that he had somehow been around during the days of Abraham. And humanly speaking, you can understand why the Jews were puzzled and offended by that, and why they said to him, "You're not even 50 years old, and you talk as though you knew Abraham personally. Who do you think you are?" That's John 8. Verse 57, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Well, he had, as the angel of Jehovah, as God Almighty, in the person of the angel of Jehovah. But the Jews, of course, didn't believe that he was the Son of God, but thought he was just the son of a poor carpenter from Nazareth. Not the fulfillment of the promise, but but just another weak and sinful man. And so they said, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And then Jesus said something to them that made them want to kill him. They even took up stones to kill him, but he was gone before they had a chance to do anything. He said to them, in answer to their puzzlement and unbelief, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham was, I was, but before Abraham was, I am. I am the eternal and unchangeable God. I am the one who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush as Jehovah, who is so great and glorious that you can only ever, by your best efforts, catch a glimpse of his glory, and then only by faith. Before Abraham was, I am. From a human point of view, you can understand why they were ready to stone him. Because one who appeared to them no more than a wandering preacher and teacher said in effect to them, I am Jehovah. The one whose unchangeableness, whose eternity, are everything. I am he. And for that reason especially, that name Jehovah is not just a name to be remembered, but a name to be believed. Because it speaks of God's eternal faithfulness to his people. It speaks of God's everlasting mercy to them. Mercy, as the book of Lamentations says, that's new every morning. A faithfulness that never dies. Of an unchangeableness that saves his people when salvation, humanly speaking, is impossible. Who saves them through the miracle of the coming and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. A name to be believed. And that's what God meant when he said to Moses, after giving him this name and those signs, they'll believe you then. But that was a name, too, that God's people needed then. By the way, when Moses brought this name to the elders of Israel, they did believe. You read that at the end of Exodus 4. Moses and Aaron went, gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. Seeing something of God's unchangeable, everlasting faithfulness and mercy, they did believe. But a few days later, They'd forgotten all about that name. Moses and Aaron, after talking to the people, went to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's response in chapter 5 was, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And he then made the bondage of the Israelites even worse by refusing to give them straw for the bricks that they were making. How did he put it? In chapter 5, he said they were lazy. So the taskmasters were not to give the Israelites straw anymore, but they still had to produce the same number of bricks. You know what the response of the Israelites was? They came to, first to Pharaoh, but then they went to Moses too, and said to Moses and Aaron, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." They'd forgotten the name Jehovah. And because their circumstances changed, they really thought that God himself had changed and were angry with Moses, frustrated by the extra work they had to do and their evil treatment in the land of Egypt. And Moses' response was along the same lines. He too forgot that God doesn't change, even though all the circumstances of our lives change. And he went to God in prayer and said, "Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered this people at all." Really a denial of that name. But that's why in the Word of God, God gave this name to Moses, and why this name must always, always be remembered and be in the minds of God's people. Circumstances change. We're healthy one day, in very poor health the next day. Married, and then a husband or a wife is taken away by the hand of God. And we may not then forget the name Jehovah. It is not then God who has changed. And we may not say then what the Israelites said to Moses, "Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." But say, "He's Jehovah, the I Am. Though the circumstances in which I find myself have changed beyond anything I could possibly have imagined, he is still the same. In Jesus Christ, my Savior, the same today as he was yesterday. And I must put my confidence in that, and not be troubled and distressed and afraid and disheartened by all the changes that have come upon me. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. That's what I meant in that third point of the sermon when I said that this is a name to be honored. And I don't mean by that just a name to be acknowledged as one of God's great names, but a name to be honored by our confidence, daily, hourly confidence in that name. When everything changes in the church to which we belong or in the denomination to which we belong, when everything changes in our family life, when everything changes as far as the work we're called to do, then we honor that name by putting our absolute confidence in this, that God has not changed, that he is Jehovah. I am that I am, the one for whom tomorrow is no different than today, or yesterday than tomorrow. The same God of our fathers, the God who keeps covenant, who remembers mercy, who holds himself, if I may put it that way, to every promise that he has ever made to his people, and who loves them in the changing circumstances of their lives, loves them with that same love that he set upon them before ever the world was created, in eternity when he chose them as his own. And so God sent Moses to Israel and to us with that name. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy names and especially for that great name, Jehovah. Give us grace, Father, to put our confidence in thy unchangeable faithfulness and mercy in Jesus Christ, and not to be troubled and distressed when the circumstances of our life change and when all about us changes. Forgive us when we forget thy name and do not honor it with our trust and confidence. Forgive us all our sins for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.